I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doc. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And we have a really good show for you this week. Actually, I'm quite pleased. Normally, I search through news items and go, eh. You know, it's my prerogative as a curmudgeon to go, eh. Some things just don't interest me. You know what I'm saying? My hat's kind of getting hot in here. It's getting summerier. Summerier. It's getting towards summer. So my studio is getting warmer. Know what I mean? It's hard to say words that don't exist. Have you ever noticed that? Just saying. Anyway, I'm not sure I got my lights right. Don't mind me while I switch some things around here. Boy, I'm knocking the camera around. Look at all this. You say, Dr. Bill, why don't you just start over? Because that's not the way I do things. I do things live. Well, not live exactly. As though it were live. Just saying. Anyway, I am Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. And you're not. To paraphrase Chevy Chase back in the day. You say, Dr. Bill, you really are an old geezer. Yes, I am. So what? We're proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. Ah, and I have water, and I hit my microphone. If you heard something go kawap, you'll know it was the microphone. Water, and cold water, too. I'll put it back over here so I don't knock it off. That would be bad. It, you know, go right into the laptop and stuff, steam and things would come up. That would be bad. Anyway, first item this week is that Cortana, the Microsoft female personality from Halo, that is now talking to you from your phone, if you have a Windows phone, is coming to other platforms. They're actually going to put out a new advanced version of Cortana to rival the likes of Apple's Siri and Google Now, according to a Reuters interview with Eric Horvitz, Managing Director of Microsoft Research. It's an artificial intelligence project called Einstein. It will be built into Windows 10 this fall and will be further available in both iOS and Android devices. Now, here's the question that I have. If I have an Android phone, do I really want a Microsoft AI on it? Think about it. It might take over your phone and say, down with Linux, because your Android is based on Linux, essentially, and kill the phone. Yee, that would be bad. Also, have you ever, do I have my phone with me? I don't have my phone with me. But have you ever on your phone done a pull to refresh on an Android phone? Well, that functionality, pull to refresh, is coming to Chrome for Android. So you're going to be, while you're in your Chrome browser, you'll be able to go whoosh, and refresh your screen. That's cool. So, you know, I use this all the time on my Android phone, particularly if I'm Facebooking. If I'm on Facebook and there's new stuff, I'll pull it down and I'll go, wah. It'll make this little noise. And I know my son, the Game Master, he sits in the seat next to me and goes, what? What? Because I do the wah sound when I refresh. But it's cool. I like it. I also like annoying the Game Master a bit, but that's okay. That's just a thing we do. He and I do things that annoy each other occasionally just for fun. Yes. Okay, CNET reports, I sometimes catch myself attempting to swipe or tab on the screen of my MacBook. When I'm driving, I've caught myself reaching for the radio to skip back 15 seconds, as if I somehow DVR'd NPR. With the abundance of technology in our lives, it can be difficult to keep track of what can do what. So if you've grown accustomed to mobile apps like Instagram, Facebook, Twitter that let you pull down to refresh your feed, You'll enjoy the latest build of Chrome for Android. It lets you pull down to reload the current page you're viewing. Once you swipe down to get on the top of the page, you can swipe down again to refresh. Dude, I like that. I think it's good that all of our little things that we do are beginning to come together somewhat. Lest you get confused and start swiping on the window to try to refresh the outside. I'm just telling you, it won't work. And you need to get out more. Okay. Anyway, also we have a news item here that I kind of like because it's odd. And I like odd. You know that. Yes, Fred. So am I. So what? Fred, of course, if you don't know, is my imaginary friend. He types things here up on the screen. And if you're listening to the audio podcast, you can't hear him because he's not there. Yes. Anyway, so he's my imaginary friend. And he occasionally makes snide comments like that last one when he said that I was odd. And he's right. But that's okay. Anyway, this is odd, and I like it. Creepy Barbie doll spies on kids? Yes. It seems that Mattel has now released a Barbie doll that is eavesdropping and is downright creepy, according to privacy advocates, which I can't blame them. Mattel's new Hello Barbie has more tricks up her sleeve than just saying hello. With the press of a button, Barbie's embedded microphone turns on and records the voice of the child playing with her. Now, here's where it gets really weird. The recordings are then uploaded to a cloud server where voice detection technology helps the doll make sense of the data. The result, an inquisitive Barbie who remembers your dog's name and brings up your favorite hobbies at your next chit-chat. Creepy. Plus, if they've got all that data about your kid up in the cloud, is that a good thing? Particularly if the child is telling secrets to the Barbie doll and it's being uploaded to the cloud. You get the idea. Yee. Anyway, this particular Barbie doll will sell for $74.99. So you will pay $74.99 for a Barbie doll that spies on your kid. I don't think so. Now, the Game Master is my son. He's an only child, and he is 22 years old. I can't see him getting a Barbie doll. Okay. He has no interest. Now, if it's a sword, he's for it. He has an abundance of swords. He basically has his own armory of swords. Should I be concerned? Okay. Let's get more water. I can feel my voice drying up. I'm sorry you can't share in the water. Perhaps you should go get you some water. Go and acquire some water and drink with me. We'll drink together. Yes, Fred, it is water. Fred. He knows I don't drink alcoholic beverages, but he likes to josh me occasionally. Anyway, throat's still a little rough. I've been fighting off some stuff, and it's making me have to drink more water. Let's just do it again. I mean, why not? I don't know why I do that. I'm not sure it actually helps, but it's something to do. All right. As I record this, this is a Sunday, the 15th. And on March the 15th, 30 years ago, 1985, a computer company in Massachusetts registered the first .com domain. Little fanfare. Symbolics.com. And with that, the dot-com era officially began 30 years ago today as I record this. That's cool. Dot-com. I like it. I have a lot of dot-coms myself. Yes. Matter of fact, drbillbailey.net, is my official website, drbillbaile.net, as it says there on the screen. But it also resolves to drbillbaile.com. And drbillbaile.org is another website that I own, but it's a ministry website, not a website about the shows. So I have a lot of websites. I have like 90 some websites. Domains, I should say. Not all of them are websites. Some of them are I'm just sitting on. Anyway. The domain system is a key foundation of the World Wide Web, which was born in 1991 at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN. Sir Tim Berners-Lee was the father of that idea, but it wouldn't have gone far without the Universal Address Network, like the domain name system. The dot-com's 30th birthday got us to thinking about the Internet's past. And in fact, Symbolics.com, you can actually go there, it still exists, but it's not owned by the same people. Matter of fact, the guy that owns it has the history of Symbolics.com on the website and talks about the fact that it is the first .com, and he is excited and honored to hold it, to own it. There's just something about owning a domain name. It's cool. Anyway, next item. Oculus is closer to becoming a reality. That is Oculus Rift, the 3D headset that looks a little geeky on your face. Yes. It's still unclear if the consumer version of the Oculus Rift virtual reality headset, special goggles that allow users to see simulated 3D worlds, is going to hit stores in 2015, but that doesn't mean that something is awry. In fact, Oculus Rift founder Palmer Luckey on Friday said, "Everything is going horribly right." You know how people talk about things going horribly wrong? Well, they're going horribly right for him. That's odd, but anyway, he said things are really coming together and they're going to have this virtual reality thing out there before too long, which is really cool. I'm looking forward to it myself. Now, I'm probably not going to buy an Oculus Rift, but I'm hoping somebody around me has one that I can play with. Unless they make it really much less expensive than they are talking about it being. Okay, now you know that today is Pie Day. And that doesn't necessarily mean you should run out and get yourself a piece of pie, although that's optional. You can do that if you like. But no, this is P-I, Pi, Pi the Mathematical Expression Day. Why, you might ask? Because as I record this, actually it was yesterday, I'm sorry. I'm wrong, it was yesterday as I record this. Throat is definitely getting rough. Excuse me. 3-14-15, in other words, comes along once a century, March 14th, 2015, so that would be 3-14-15 at 9-26-53. All those numbers would make it 3.14159265 3. Yes. The official International Pie Day. Yes, some will celebrate it by eating a lot of pie, as I mentioned. Or they will celebrate it by waking up at 9.2653 a.m. But Microsoft is paying an homage to the mathematical constant with a deal that doubles as a play on the pi digits. For 24 hours on Saturday, which means you missed it, you'll be able to buy a 12-month pass to Xbox Music for just $31.41. A year-long pass for the service usually costs around $99, so you'll save almost $70. You would have had you done it yesterday. See, if I'd have done the show yesterday, you could have run right out and got yourself Xbox Music. You're not missing anything. Just saying. Okay! It's whoa! You gotta watch Fred. I was about to do the Geek Software of the Week, but he just went ahead and did the drum roll just to make me stop and go, what? So, sorry for the coughing, by the way. My throat is just getting rough. The Geek Software of the Week this week is the kind of Geek Software of the Week that I like. And that is, during the week, this past week, I had an issue that came up that I needed to deal with. I work with several radio stations as a technical director, and this particular station was having issues with their player. It wasn't playing on all devices. People were trying to play it on iPhone-type devices and Android-type devices and all these different kinds of things, and it wasn't working for everybody. So, I immediately went out and started searching for a player that would play IceCast radio, internet radio, and still be free. Because I'm a great believer in open source and freedom. Yes, freedom from having to pay money. So, I found a software that I really like. It's called the Muses Radio Player. You know, like your muse? Muses Radio Player. It's an open source web player for audio streaming radio over the internet. In other words, for receiving it and playing it on a web page. It supports the most popular audio codecs, MP3, AUG, and AAC, and it works great with Shoutcast, IceCast 2, and other compatible streaming servers. It supports the, well, I already said that. It also has Flash and HTML5 support, and it will auto-sense between the two, which it needs to do. So if you don't have Flash installed, like an iOS-type device, then it will use HTML5, and so forth. Very, very awesome. Now you may say, well, but Dr. Bill, I don't have a website to put a radio player on. Well, sorry. But if you do, and you've been looking for a player, you're probably going, dude, that rocks. Because it's free and awesome. So I like it a lot. And I immediately put it on all the different radio stations that I am technical directoring. It's a volunteer thing. You know what I'm saying? So these are all nonprofit organizations that I do various radio stations for. So, coolness. Anyway, so that was the Geek Star of the Week. If it didn't help you, sorry. Hang in there next time. Perhaps we'll hit you on the head. Well, Fred, I wouldn't necessarily enjoy it. If they were being unruly, maybe. So anyway, last item this week is NASA quietly tests the impulse engine in space. In other words, an impulse drive for a spacecraft. Now you might say, what, Dr. Bill, impulse? Yes, just like Star Trek. More Star Trek technologies are coming to be true. And the impulse drive is one of them. Excuse me. Very quietly, NASA has tested a space drive that does not use propellant. And according to the laws of physics, should not work. See, the thing about laws of physics is they're more like strong suggestions of physics. No, it just doesn't mean that the laws of physics are broken. It just means we don't understand something. So, all the physicists should go scratch their head and try to figure it out, but anyway, the laws of physics have been broken. No, they say it shouldn't work, but according to the Thursday story in the Wired.UK, the problem is that the drive called the Canae drive, C-A-N-N-A-E drive, by its inventor Guido Fetta. Guido, I like that. Did work in the NASA-directed test. It did work. Get it? It worked. Dude. If the efficacy of the drive is confirmed, the implications for space travel are profound. It seems that another technology from Star Trek may be about to become a reality. Yes! Actually, if they've already tested it and it worked, it has become a reality. Anyway, this is the same type of engine that the Chinese tested some time ago, and we talked about briefly, and now NASA has tested it and it works. Test results indicate that the RF resonant cavity thruster design, which is unique as an electric propulsion device, is pushing a force that is not attributable to any classic electromagnetic phenomenon, therefore is potentially demonstrating the interaction with the quantum vacuum virtual plasma. Easy for me to say. In other words, nobody knows how it works. I love that kind of thing. But if it does work, and what if it can be scaled up? Much of the weight of a spacecraft, whether it's propelled by a chemical rocket or an ion thruster or nuclear thermal engines, consists of fuel. Something like the EM drive or the Canae drive becomes practical. If it becomes practical, larger spacecraft can be launched into space without the added weight of fuel. And because the thrust is low but constant, like an ion rocket, Trip times through the solar system suddenly become weeks instead of months. Somebody was saying that instead of taking a year to get to Mars, it would take a month. That's significant! Dude. Now, this is not the warp drive from Star Trek, which is a different project that they're working on at NASA. How cool is that? But it does look a lot more like the impulse power that propelled the USS Enterprise when warp engines were down or when they were inside of a solar system. It would be enough to open the solar system for exploration and eventual colonization. We're living in the future, folks! I can see it from here. Dude! That's cool stuff. And that's about it for this week. Besides, my throat can't handle much more. So I'll stop there. And tell you this, that the Doctor is out of here! Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto.